A nice work there from Nick Quinn from the Tab. They missed that field goal, did they? That's a setback.
Yeah, they're not going too well at the moment. Yeah, that's still down by 14, halfway through the second.
For your man, Tom, the terrific sports person. And now we're going to catch up with Colin Munro from the Perth Scorchers a little bit later on, but well, before we hand over to Michael Felgate. But Dave Hussey is one of our very dear friends around these parts, and he's a coach of the Melbourne Stars, and what's been, I imagine, a very, very challenging Big Bash campaign, leading a team that's been dealing with so much uncertainty and change, I suppose, through the campaign. I want to talk to him about it. Dave Hussey joins us on the line this morning. Good morning, Huss.
Morning, Huss. How are you?
I'm going very well. Are you almost relieved that it's over?
No, I'm still sulking, actually. I still believe that we're one of the best teams in the competition and could rival the Sixers or the Scorchers to be the champions this year.
So with that being said, upon reflection, when you're doing your reviews and stuff, how do you analyse the season that's just gone for the Stars?
Yeah, it's a really difficult one. I thought we were just starting to play our best cricket after we beat the Heat up north just after the Christmas break and come back down south to Melbourne, and I thought we're just hitting our straps, and then all of a sudden Armageddon hit, and we had to field a replacement team for a couple of games. And that stalled all our momentum, and unfortunately, we couldn't get back on a run towards the back end. And we relied on other teams to get us over the line, but unfortunately, we finished just out of the final five.
So, how did you handle that? What was your strategy to keep the energy up, to keep the vibe up, to try and make the best of that situation, Huss? Because it was borderline impossible when you haven't got the calibre of players out there that you need and all your stars are gone. How did you handle that from a team management perspective?
Yeah, so I listened to Dean Vixenman before, and you're not focusing a lot on yourself and the team and individuals. I did so many one-on-one meetings with all the players, just trying to get themselves up and get the mood and up around the group. Yeah, it was just a really difficult one. I think strategy almost went out the window playing against opposition teams and just really focused on ourselves and what we can do, what we can control in order to play our best cricket. And I still thought we played pretty good cricket up until the back end when all our players were back fit and healthy, but unfortunately just wasn't enough to fulfil the final five.
So you had two things going against you. Virtually your entire team got COVID. And then there was the mental challenge of trying to get them back up with all the things that had gone against you. What was the hardest part? To get them up physically or mentally?
No, mentally. Physically, it was a case-by-case basis, as in I felt fine the whole way through. So after contracting COVID, but other players like Stoinis, Clint Hinchley, if they were really battling, Joe Burns as well, they'd go out for a little bit of a net. They start the net and their heart rate would go to 180 straight away. So end up walking a lap and they couldn't really complete a lap. So it was a case-by-case basis. But full credit for all the boys. They all really wanted to play for the Stars and they wanted to get themselves up for each game. But the schedule that we had at the back end was just really took its toll on the players. And unfortunately, we finished just out of the final five.
So how do you review it now? Because of the circumstances of it all, do you just throw it all in the bin and just start again next year, or are there still things that you can take out of it to make sure you're better next year?
No, there's many learnings from this year. Like we started very, very slowly this year. We had a lot of players injured, a lot of players not really ready to go. So with 5-day preparation to lead into a big tournament, it's just clearly not enough. So I've really got to touch base with players a lot earlier and get them on the same page earlier so they know what they're doing and just pray that I don't walk under a ladder or see a black cat and we don't get any injuries at the start of the season. Then we get our best team available, and I think that'll go a long way for us to qualify for the finals firstly, but also play Stars cricket, which is an entertaining and impressive game of cricket.
One player that was one of the real shining lights was Joe Clark. After a horrific start, he became one of the great players of the competition this year with his timing of the cricket ball was sublime. Did you see this coming? Obviously, you selected him, so you thought he could do something, but did he exceed expectations?
No, I wouldn't have said he exceeded expectations, but let's just say after the first four games, I was getting a lot of people messaging me and calling me saying that he's a dud, but you've got to hold the face. He's a class player. He's been a class player for the number of years for Notts, and you just know he's going to find some form eventually. Australia is a very difficult place to play. Come in from a cold climate, come to Australia, different pitches, and then all of a sudden you're facing the best bowlers in the world on a pretty big stage. And yeah, you're not going to score runs in every game, but if you can contribute to, say, 4 or 5 wins, it goes a long way to actually qualifying for the finals. And I think Joe was really shining a light, along with Dylan Cartwright with the bat this year for the Stars.
Was it handled as well as it could have been, considering what happened to us and how challenging it is for everyone? Was it handled the right way to just keep barging through and keep playing, or would you have liked a bit of a hiatus for teams to get healthy again and then start the competition again?
Yeah, probably more the latter. I would have liked a 7-day break. However, I fully understand that there's schedule commitments, and there was meant to be a New Zealand tournament coming up, or New Zealand tour coming up, I should say. So I fully get that there's TV, there's pressures from TV, and there's pressures from scheduling from grounds who have already penciled in fixtures. So I do understand all the pressures involved, but I still thought players' health and well-being was paramount, and I don't think that was showing enough gratitude there throughout the year.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Do you think it's as engaging a product as it once was, the Big Bash? I mean, different this year with... There's a bit of a caveat in this conversation because of what's happened this year and the fixturing of games just to get them through at different times and different venues and all that sort of stuff. But do you think it's as engaging as it once was, the Big Bash, for the fans? He's stumped by that. It's a really good question.
It is. It's just a pause.
It's just a really good question, and he's intimidated by it. It's just not unusual. With my questioning, and he
just
can't
deep
feel like he can answer it. We clearly don't know what's happened there. He's just fallen off there. We'll try and get him back up because, as you rightly say, it's a great question.
It's a very good question. I'm interested in the answer.
So am I. So the coon dog at the back is doing his thing to get him back on the line, but that's a bit of a challenge.
Yeah, he's got him.
He's got him.
He's got him.
Look at him. What a machine the coon dog is.
I tell you what.
There's nothing he can't do.
He's an inspiring man. This last week has been extraordinary.
There's nothing he can't do. Hussey with us?
Yes, I am. Sorry about that. I'm not sure what happened.
That's all right. Did you hear my question?
I did. And the way I'll answer that is that the Stars want to entertain. So we're trying to entertain all our fans, all our members, but not only that, but all the cricketing world. So has it lost its luster, the BBL? Possibly a little bit, but we're trying to play a brand of cricket that really encourages all people to play the game of cricket, but also support the Stars. And I think that showed in the last game where we scored 270 and, just made a mockery of some of the bowling that was...
So to the extension of that, Huss, the X Factor, tick or a cross?
Cross.
Surge, tick or a cross?
Tick. I like the surge, yep.
Yeah, I like the surge.
Surge is good. No, surge
I'm surprised work. There's been anti-surge. I think that's a really good dynamic.
I'm with the surge.
Yeah. I'm not even going to ask you about the bonus, boosh, bash, boosh, bonus point thing. Because that is, in my view, what? An absolute disgrace.
Well, you've got to ask David.
Okay, sorry. The bash boost point, tick or cross?
No, cross, because purely, and not because of this year, because last year the Stars would have made the finals winning less games than... I can't remember the team we're going to go ahead of purely because of bash points, and then happened the reverse way around. So we would have got into the finals. Sorry, the Strikers got in ahead of us in the finals because of purely bash points. So, which I don't think is right. The right way to go about playing the game. It's too much of an incentive. 1 point, that's 24% of the win. It's just too valuable.
Yeah, you don't win a game after 10 overs. You win a game at the end of the game.
And so by that, we've got one of the three initiatives.
Yeah, no, I'm with us on those three. And yep. then probably the other one is just the length of the competition. We're seeing at the moment, Andre Russell, who played for your team, is playing in some other competition somewhere in the world at the moment, wearing pink pads. Is it too long, or do we have to up the salary cap to keep the players longer? What do we have to do to keep the better players coming here?
No, the competition's too long. It just needs to be condensed. I'm still all for the 14 games, but take the games to regional areas. Take the game to Albury and Wodonga and the Stars play the Sydney Thunder down there, or go out to Maui and play out there. It's a beautiful stadium out there as well. So, but only play 4 games at the MCG, so then the fans actually get to the MCG and really make the most of that experience of going to the MCG and watching the Stars play. but also condense the tournament. So it is a five-week tournament, play three games a week if you have to, and purely because you need the TV dollars to filter down all the way to grassroots cricket, and that's where we're all passionate about. We want the game to continue growing, and you always want to leave the game better than what you started with.
That's a good analysis there, I reckon.
And I think they're spot on. Yeah, and I think they're, sorry.
A 14 game's okay. I mind it. Just get them in.
But we don't want a situation where there's 8 days between one team playing.
No. Correct.
Which is what has happened.
Three or four days max.
And I think what we've found, even through it being forced because of COVID, that the idea of triple headers or double headers, that's not a bad thing.
It's a good thing. Gets games in. Everyone's happy. Just on list builds, so there's been, because of the situation we've found, we've found players from all over the place, and no greater poster boy for the local cricketer made good, even though he had a bit of a background, Ian Cobain, who's come in and gone berserk for the Adelaide Strikers. It's a fantastic story, and I think it's been a real attraction for a lot of people to watch the Big Bash, to have these stories of players from nowhere. Does that mean we have to start to branch out a bit with our recruiting from now on?
Yeah, I would have thought so. I think this season's sort of paramount to the fact that our search is going to go further and farther and deeper, really, and sort of trust other people throughout the world rather than just your own eyes. Yeah, he's been a breath of fresh air at the top of the order for the Strikers, and I think he's playing for Lang Warren in the NPCA. So this speaks volumes for some of the leagues around Victoria at the moment.
Yeah, I don't know whether you can confirm this, but there's a suggestion that the season for the Stars went awry when you didn't select either Half or myself to be brought in, drafted in for those games where we clearly could have given you some terrific value. Is that true?
How do I answer that? You guys, well, Whitey, you'll definitely probably next phone call I had to make. Half was a bit further down the pecking order because he's a Renegades fan. So,
yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, but think of what I could have done.
Your cricket mouse, Whitey, was definitely right at the top of the tree, and I think we needed your cricket knowledge, especially with our captain being out for a couple of games as well.
Don't say that. I
don't know whether to be happy or hurt that I was next call.
After what I've heard has unfolded in the last little while, you don't need our man there. You don't need him there, Dave. Hey, Huss, it is always a pleasure to chat to you. I look forward to getting into the studio at some stage through the season and talking about the world of sport and cricket as well. Who wins?
In world of sport, who wins the BBL?
Yep.
The Perth Scorchers, unfortunately.
Well, Colin Munro is going to join us after this, so he'll be pleased to hear that. Always a pleasure, young man. Go well.
Thanks, gents. Take care.
Dave Hussey.